Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back to Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Tom Crawford on a recruiting weekend. No, he is not being signed by any schools. That's good news for them. However, his son Cody had a terrific senior year with East Lansing and is examining his college opportunities at different levels. Dave Benton sitting in this morning, taking the co-host chair, Scott Eckersley here, and chiming in and taking your calls, 393-3700. Like to bring in our next guest, and a guy I have a tremendous amount of respect for, Dave. Watched him at Lansing Waverly and then Michigan State, and had really had unbelievable growth, not just as a player, but as a person, and that is Mohsin Muhammad. Hello, Moose. How are you?
Jack, I'm awesome. Awesome. How are you doing? You're being very modest, too, Jack. You covered me in high school. I think you wrote one of the first stories about my brother, myself, yep. My father, and that was just it was a great article. But yeah, I think you were one of the first writers to do a story on us.
Well, there have been a lot of them since, especially your work in the National Football League, a distinguished career. Dave, Mohsin Muhammad, one of the top 25 receivers in National Football League history.
He had a great history. I mean, he was a fantastic receiver at Carolina for a long time.
A lot of people are saying that when Hall of Fame time comes, his numbers are going to stack up very well. He was almost a Super Bowl MVP. Tom Brady hadn't put it together there at the end of the game. We've seen that before. And then also caught a touchdown pass with the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl. And now moved on to some business opportunities and some broadcasting and doing some work with the Big Ten Network, right, Moose?
Yeah. Actually, did a show with Big Ten Network called the Big Ten Report.
Yep.
Airs on Friday nights, 8 o'clock. Really a good show. Had a lot of fun. And Mike Hall, Howard Griffith.
Yeah.
Just a great show. But, had a lot of fun. Learning about all the talent coming out of the Big Ten and being able to preview some of the games and pay a lot of close attention to what's going on in Michigan State and, some of the other teams that we played against. And it was just a great time.
Do you miss being a pro, the routine of being a pro football player, or have you found new ways to kind of channel those routines as you start working in TV and stuff?
Well, I'll tell you, my transition was pretty smooth. I had already had set some things in place as far as business. I've been working on a broadcasting career from, 1998 or something like that. I did my first internship program overseas with Fox Sports when they had NFL Europe. Mm-hmm. So, I've been kind of planning this. One of the things the NFL has is a great program for after career. And if you take advantage of it, you build relationships, there's, it could be a smooth transition. There's a lot of great things can come of that.
He's got the pipes for it, doesn't he, Dave?
Yeah, he ought to tell Brett Favre about that program. Maybe he'd be interested.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he took it, but it was a program where you just cut your grass and that kind of deal.
Mohsin Muhammad, one of the most physical wide receivers that I have ever seen. I thought Kirk Gibson and Mohsin Muhammad, probably the two most physical wide receivers in Michigan State history. And it used to be fun just to watch him cave in the side of the line when he would block. But, he was a running back. He was a terrific running back in high school and then had a chance to go play college football and going down to Miami. But you'd have been a linebacker down there. That's not what you were looking for, right, Moose?
Right, that's correct. I was recruited by University of Miami. I actually took the official visit down there to Miami, Florida. And, I was good at it, but I didn't love it. I didn't really I didn't want to play defense. I didn't want to be that kind of guy. I wanted to score touchdowns. I wanted to be a player that reached the end zone. I had a lot more fun doing that than I did making tackles.
Going from Waverly to Michigan State and playing for George Perlis, ups and downs, and Not consistent winning seasons there, but a couple of bowl opportunities, and you were never better than in that last bowl game against LSU, an unbelievable performance by you. And when you look at what you learned at those two stops, how did Waverly and Michigan State make you the 14-year pro that you turned out to be?
Well, you know, I would have to say, you know, when you're constantly the underdog and you're playing from behind and you're playing with playing against, you know, superior guys and superior programs, you know, I think you learn a lot of character traits, and you learn how to be resilient, and you learn how to fight. You learn how to really just, you know, rally a team, and, you know, and I think, you know, some of those things, I carried those throughout mm-hmm. my career. And, you know, when, you know, I learned to never stop fighting, you know, never stop playing and playing your heart. You never know when the game is going to be over. And I learned how to work. I learned how to work hard, you know, from Lanson Waverly to Michigan State. I learned really some of the greatest work habits that, you know, when I arrived in the NFL, you know, I looked around and I noticed that some of the other guys that were there with me, they didn't have the same work habits. They didn't have the same desire to win and willingness to fight in certain situations. And I could definitely say that I gained that through, you know, my experiences.
Jack, you know, you may not realize this, but I've never played football. I know, just looking at me, you may not realize this, but I've always been curious on both the college and NFL level how a leadership role is developed through the locker room. Like, what is the process of how people sort of step to the forefront and become leaders at a locker room, and how long does it usually take for that to take place?
You know, I would say that it's the willingness to put yourself out there, take charge, and hold yourself accountable. Because, you know, if I tell a player that he should do X, Y, and Z to prepare for a game, or X, Y, and Z with his body, or X, Y, and Z in any facet, I have to be willing to do that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think guys look around and they see who are the guys that are constantly working hard. Who are the guys that are hitting the weight room, the first ones in the weight room in the morning and the last ones out of the meeting room in the film room in the evening. They look to see those things. And then when they see that translate into success, they want to know, well, how do you get that success? How do I become successful? And if you're willing to share those things with them, if you're willing to share how you do it on the football field and off the football field, I think that's the time you become a leader. Now, in my opinion, it could be, you could be a vocal leader, right? You could be that rah-rah guy, but you have to do the other things, because you can't say, do as I say and not as I do.
Right, right.
And, you know, and then, you know, you could be a silent leader. I mean, I played with Julius Peppers, and to me, you know, he wasn't that vocal guy. I mean, he's not going to stand up and give the Ray Lewis speech before a game. But I tell you, when you turn the film on, you see him when you watch him in the weight room, when you see him in the film room. I mean, he was a guy that put in the work, and he was that kind of leader. And so, like I said, typically the guys with the C's on their chest, those are the guys that are getting it done.
They say you can buy cars and you can buy clothes, but you can't buy respect. And that's something that I think Mohsin is alluding to. You talk about being soft-spoken. You were pretty soft-spoken with the guy who had a locker next to you when you were a rookie with the Carolina Panthers, and you were the number two second-round draft pick and the number one pick from the University of Michigan, Tembiaka Batuka, someone you got the best of your senior year, and you didn't even have a chance to rub it in.
Well, you know, we didn't speak at all. I mean, I think... I think that's typical of college players when they arrive in the NFL, is they carry that, you know, kind of that grudge or that rivalry type mentality where, you know, in college it's almost a hatred type thing for your opponent. But, you know, when you're in the NFL, you know, the guy who you played against last week could be sitting next to you in your locker, you know, and, you know, with free agency and trades and that kind of deal. I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, typically, you know, before games, we would often, you know, talk to guys like, you know, if I played against Derek, you know, played against Derek's team, Derek Mason, who, you know, I played with at Michigan State, we sit on the field, talk about our wife and kids before the game, and then we go out there and we're battling.
Right.
Or Charles Woodson, you know, I know Charles really well now, and, you know, yep. he played at University of Michigan when I played at State. And, you know, when he played for Oakland and, you know, he played for Green Bay, you know, we would talk before the games and, you know, just about everything and then go out there and try to kill each other. So, you know, I think it was typical when I got to the NFL and Bianca Batuka's locker was next to mine, we didn't speak for a while. I mean, it was just like a known resentment that, okay, we'll be on the field as teammates, but we don't have to speak. But then we eventually grew out of that.
Mohsin Mohammed, NFL standout, former Waverly great and Michigan State Spartan number one for the Spartans, and he played that way for a large part of his senior year. Mohsin, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that you reflect on in an upcoming issue of Sport Magazine, and that is life after football and the business opportunities you have, the tremendous growth in terms of the family aspect of this, and you had four kids when you adopted two more from Ethiopia. That was something I thought was very well documented. The Big Ten Network did the Next Level with Mohsin and talked about this. You want to talk about that in the sense of family and how it's all played out for you?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, Jack, it was a life-changing experience for my family, my wife and I. You know, it was something that she's always wanted to do throughout her childhood. And, you know, obviously, you know, I was coerced a little bit, but, you know, I think it was more by faith, you know. And I tell you, when you pray about something and you ask God to reveal some things in your heart, be careful about what you ask for because it just will happen. Hmm. And, you know, we adopted an 8-year-old girl at the time. She was 8, and a 5-year-old boy that were brothers and sisters that lost their father, and mother just couldn't afford to even feed them, and were in an orphanage. And, you know, when you go to a third world and, you know, type of country and you see the poverty there, I think you have a new perspective on what it means to struggle and what it means to bless people. But, you know, giving them an opportunity to come here, it did more for me than I think it did for them, you know, changing my life. And you know, we did something, Jack, that most people told us that we probably shouldn't do. I mean, at a point in our lives where we had four of our own children, why would you do this or why would you do that? And why would you change birth orders? And why, I mean, just a lot of different recommendations that we didn't follow. We followed our heart. And I think that's what it's all about. And when you claim to be a Christian, you just step out on faith and you do things that God leads you to do. And that's what my wife and I did. And it's been a blessing on the family.
Mohsin Mohammed and his wife Krista have an unbelievable family, Dave. And if you see his involvement, I don't think I've seen him happier than watching his girls play basketball. The AAU level, and that's very, very important to him. He has a very full, very rich life. Mohsin, before we let you go, I want to ask about the 2010 Michigan State Spartans. You've had a chance to watch this team. You've had a chance to see up close what Mark D'Antonio has assembled and accomplished here. Can you put that into perspective in year four, and what do you think Michigan State's chances are of running the table here and maybe playing in a January bowl game?
Sure. Sure, but before I do that, I'm going to just say a little something about my basketball organization. I did start an AAU basketball organization, and I call it the NC Spartans for North Carolina Spartans. And our website, if anybody wants to log on and check it out, is ncspartans.org. But, yeah, I talk about the Michigan State Spartans as well, the MSU Spartans, and what Dan Antonio is doing. I mean, he is just he's doing a tremendous job of building his program, getting key players in there and building a winning tradition. I think that's it has to start somewhere. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about Ohio State. I heard a lot of people talk about Michigan and how those programs are, you know, dominant programs here. And, you know, with Nebraska coming into the Big Ten next year and having a conference championship.
Right.
I think it's very important for Michigan State to really start establishing himself, and Dan Antonio's done a great job. And obviously, you know, you can't say enough about the play of Kirk Cousins and Edwin Baker this year. The defense has really picked up, and you know, I really like the character of guys that he's getting into the program. You know, the majority of those guys that I interviewed when I was back in Michigan State, to me, seem to be good character guys and hardworking guys. And, you know, that's, I think that's where you start and you build your program. Very smart guys, and guys that are willing to, you know, just put in the work and gel together as a team.
When you have one of those programs that you don't just show up and automatically win, there aren't very many ways to do it, and one of them is with character guys. We've seen it over the years, and a real character guy, our guest, Mohsin Mohammed, joining us from Charlotte, North Carolina. Moose, great to talk with you, and look forward to your piece in Sport Magazine.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jack.
All right. We will be right back with more. 393-3700, The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.